This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The state of Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, the DFPS, has seen many high-profile instances of neglect and abuse within foster homes. Some resulted in 10 deaths in the last fiscal year under official suspicious circumstances. Two of the deaths were specifically from abuse, as in the Austin case of Alexandra Hill. The group Children's Rights is suing the DFPS, hoping to lower their caseloads of the caseworkers and increase monitoring and improve the vetting of foster parents. San Antonio State Senator Carlos Yudeste has long been an outspoken advocate to bring improvements to the DFPS on the behalf of the children. And this half hour, we're going to be speaking with Senator Yudeste about these problems and the future of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Welcome to The Source, Senator Yudeste.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave, for having me.
And our phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, you want to jump in this conversation, we do want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Senator Yudeste, 10 deaths in the last fiscal year that just wrapped up. That's astounding. What is going on?
Well, David, you know, I've been working on this issue, unfortunately, for a long time. And although on the one hand, I think we have made strides in certain areas, on the other hand, when you have 10 death cases of children here in Texas, that's 10 too many. And the second number, though, that follows that is that there are 60,000 confirmed cases of child abuse and neglect. Those are confirmed cases. So there are still more cases than that where CPS couldn't quite put their finger on whether or not there was abuse or neglect, but obviously we suspect there's a lot of that going on. So the numbers are still staggering. We have a lot of work to do. I think we have made strides, but again, the numbers speak for themselves.
So you wrote an op-ed recently in the San Antonio Express News talking about this, saying that this can be fixed. So what do you see as what needs to be done? Well, what are the problem areas?
Well, let me start off with giving you a little backdrop, if you will. There are, again, number of kids, 60,000 confirmed cases. Texas, unfortunately, ranks, as you know, very low when it comes to insuring our children. We have a high poverty rate. We have a high dropout rate. So when you add that to the number of cases that a caseworker handles on a daily basis, coupled with a 24% turnover rate for CPS caseworkers, we are asking for trouble, hence the reason we got sued, the state of Texas got sued. So those are a number of the issues that lend themselves to an unhealthy, unsafe environment for these children. And Texas, our Department of Family and Protective Services, and our caseworkers have to serve as the safety net, if you will, to catch these kids. And unfortunately, because of the high turnover rate, the high caseloads, et cetera, some of these kids are falling through that safety net.
So you mentioned the poverty rate. That rate was just released yesterday for the state of Texas. Texas ranked 8th in the nation for poverty, and it ranks at 7.2% for folks under the poverty line. And so you're saying, 17.2% of the population is living in poverty in Texas. That's the official figure. So you're saying that is a component when you have people living, you know, living hand to mouth or under food insecurity, that results sometimes in these situations where foster care has to step in.
Well, exactly. And it's not the only problem, obviously, because
sure,
we all grew up in poverty, and I hear that a lot. But we're living in a different world than we were 30, 40, 50 years ago. But you have to add to that mental health issues, substance abuse issues. I mean, we're living, again, in a whole different world. So when you have a young mom who's 16 years old, suffering from depression, doesn't know where she's going to live at, has one or two kids with her, then we're creating this unhealthy, a very dangerous situation for these children. And that's where the state of Texas has to step in. And we've done that. And we have come a long way. And I will say that we have some of the best caseworkers, most devoted caseworkers. Unfortunately, though, that high turnover rate of 24% makes us become an inefficient system. There's not a company in Texas that can survive at 24% with a 24% turnover rate. how in the world do we expect our agency that we are tasking to protect these kids from being able to be as efficient and as effective and being able to safely monitor these children? It's very difficult. So these children end up in the foster care system. Again, we've made some wonderful strides, but there are approximately 12,000 kids in our foster care system, and still a lot of work that needs to be done there.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment, what do you think about what's happening to the foster care system in Texas? Do you want more resources? The people in the legislature, they're saying they're reflecting the will of the population. So are people, if you want more, you have to speak out, more resources going in this direction. But we also have groups like Children's Rights, and they're suing the DFPS, and they're hoping that they can get the courts to step in to make changes. Is that, you know, is that an effective strategy?
Oh, absolutely. I think it is. I think the legislature should step up. Our foster kids should be our number one priority. They are wards of the state, and we have both a legal obligation and we have a moral obligation to take care of these kids. These kids find themselves in horrible situations. Imagine, you know, a four-year-old little girl being removed from her family for whatever reason, placed in an unknown environment with a man or a woman who I'm sure want to take care of her, but nonetheless, she is a stranger to them. She's not in her bed. She's not in her clothes, in her normal clothes. She's with people she doesn't know. You can only imagine what that poor little four-year-old girl is going through. And unfortunately, again, because our foster care system is not where it needs to be in order to care for these children, the Children's Rights Advocacy Group decided to file a lawsuit in hopes of, one, getting attention from the district court judge, what it appears that's happened, and two, getting a much better response from the legislature. And I want to respond to your comment for a moment. A majority of the legislature thinks we've done enough. There are still a minority of us that don't think we've done enough, and we need to go do a lot more, and I'm one of those.
Well, I mean, 10 deaths, I mean, how do you argue against that? Obviously, something needs to be done. So you mentioned that people are leaving, you can't hang on, there's no retention. How much is that a lot of skill capital that's leaving? What's happening? What's driving these people away?
Well, the caseloads are one thing. Most of these caseworkers come into the field not expecting to – they're not going to get rich, obviously. It's not to get wealthy. They truly want to make a difference. And again, 99% of them do. But I think it's just so stressful. They find themselves in situations that they weren't expecting, they may not have been properly trained for, and they realize that they can go out into the public sector and not be as stressed out, maybe make a little bit more and be able to provide for their families as well.
All right, we're talking to Senator Carlos Yudeste of San Antonio, Democrat. He's talking about the problems at the State of Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. We do want to hear from our callers. We'll get to those callers when we come back from this break. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Senator Carlos Yudeste, an outspoken advocate to improve child protective services and the foster care system in Texas. We've seen recently with 10 deaths in the foster care system over the past fiscal year. Definitely that is a huge alarm going off that there needs to be something done in the system. We're going to go to the phone lines. Our number is 614-8980, if you want to join the conversation. Susie is on the line. Susie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, and I understand that the topic is having to do with foster care systems, but what I would like to know as well is, what about the overall system? My granddaughter had been sexually assaulted by a family member repeatedly. It was reported more than a year before the final incident. She was allowed to return to that home multiple times. The case was basically dropped by social workers, San Antonio Police Department, and the justice system by allowing her to return repeatedly there until she was ultimately murdered by her alleged abuser.
Wow.
It is a system. It is a systematic failure. And I want to know exactly how can we possibly track these cases when we know a child has been abused? How can we track them and ensure their safety?
Susie, I'm really sorry to hear about that murder. That's terrible. Let's see what the senator can say about that.
Well, Susie, I too send my condolences. That's horrible. And unfortunately, though, I've heard stories like this before over the last several years that I've been working on this issue. And I think generally, to answer your question, we need to hold our elected officials, the legislature, accountable. And we have to do that, though, specifically. The community has to understand, one, who their legislators are, and two, how did they vote on these particular issues? Now, everybody talks a good talk and says, oh, I support children, I support foster care. But when it comes down to voting for a budget that defunded child abuse prevention programs 2 years ago and 2 years before that, those are the elected officials from the top to the bottom that we need to hold accountable. And only then can we start to properly and adequately fund the Department of Family and Protective Services. We've come a long way, but I agree with you, Susie, we have a long way to go.
Okay, back to the phones. Our number is 614-8980. John is on the line. John, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I know things have changed in the past years, but, you know, I personally see, you know, and being in this field also myself, I see big organizations like the Children's Baptist Home Ministries in San Antonio. Of course, they were really actively involved during the Waco situation, you know. But now they have become an international company, and I get concerned over the fact that what are we doing with the resources for our children here in San Antonio, or just here in Texas, period? And what are we doing to fund those resources? We're not spending too much money on buildings, payroll, and, of course, neglecting the responsibilities that we need to find the right resources to help out even people in the community that are willing to be foster parents. But yet again, kids are tougher nowadays.
Okay, John, thank you for that. Any comments on that, Senator Yudesti?
Well, John, I appreciate your call. The biggest issue that I've been pushing for, again, is prevention. Unfortunately, for DFPS, we spend about $1.2 billion, that's with the B, for the biennium for every 2 years. But we only spend about 5% on prevention. And we've got it backwards. Until we start spending more on the prevention part of it, and that goes to the local agencies and advocacy groups that are trying to assist, until we start to do that, I hate to report, we're never going to make a difference in these numbers that we've been talking about this afternoon.
We got an email. She writes that she has a current problem with the Child Protective Services Agency right now. Her daughter's son is in foster care because of a telltale head injury. The young man who she was with was abused her and the child, and that she wants to know, why does the court insist on keeping the child for a full year, no matter what? Is this general procedure? How does that work?
Well, generally, I don't know all the facts of the case, but generally, you know, sometimes children are removed and they allow the parents the ability to get the help that they need. If they're doing drugs, to get off drugs, to get clean, to stop drinking, to go to parenting classes, etc. I mean, we want to try to reunify children with the parents that want to be with their children and where it's a safe environment. So the law requires that to last up to a year in order to accomplish that. Give these parents the ability to try to rehabilitate themselves. And if they can't, then the DFPS will move for termination.
So these are like state programs or programs that are operated with the state by other private agencies, and they can refer to get parenting classes or child or anger management classes and these types of processes too. And I know judges hate to terminate parental rights. It's the last thing they want to do. They will go down every procedure and process they can before they take it to that step.
Well, the test is always what's in the best interest of the child, first and foremost. And then secondly, the goal is to try to reunify the children with the parents, because you could get as many calls about they took these children away when they shouldn't have. You know, there was family support there. There were grandparents that were willing to step up. And you would, if if you had the time, you'd get as many calls on that issue as we have already saying, how come they haven't taken these kids away? So it's not a perfect system, and that's what, you know, we're working on. I do have faith in Judge Spiesho, who's our local judge that went over to be the commissioner of DFPS, and former state senator Kyle Janik, Dr. Janik, who's now the commissioner of Health and Human Services. These are both Republicans, very good friends of mine. I work well with them. I have a lot of faith that their heart is in the right place. They're very smart individuals, and they want to make a difference. And I do believe that they're going to step up to the legislature and say, we need to do better.
Let's go back to the phones. Our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Jolene wants to talk to us. Jolene, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Okay, I guess you want me to just begin.
Yeah, tell us what you want to talk about.
I'm a CASA volunteer. I've been a CASA for about 8 years, and that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about. One of the things I just wanted to interject is that I'm seeing is we have judge burnout. Through no fault of their own, when we have a judge that she's covering, or he or she is covering four or five counties, and they're doing this almost 5 days a week, I'm thinking of, she's been doing it for almost 12 years or more now. Anybody would get burnout. The police get burnout. You see this crap every day, and I say crap because a lot of it is. And I would invite a lot of people to go down to CPS court and sit there, and they'll get an education. But that's one thing that needs to be addressed is rotation of judges so they don't hear, you know, they can get a breather, take a sabbatical, whatever you want to call it. The second thing is, yes, we really need to push for better foster care. I've had in my 8 years one foster care, family that I can say was just, they weren't doing it for the money to begin with. They had quite a bit of money, and they were doing it for a whole lot of other
people. People say that all the time. They're not doing it for the money. There's not a whole lot of money there to be a foster parent. There's no way that you could actually feed a child, clothe a child, and do all those things and come out, you know, with money left over.
Correct, and that's why you have some abuse going on, because you've got mothers thinking that that's a way to supplement the family income, and it's not. But that's their thinking, and they try to do it. And a lot of times, and I'm not picking on somebody that's, you know, just barely above the poverty line, but most of our foster families aren't middle class. And the vetting program, yes, it needs to be vetted much, much better.
Okay, well, Jolene, thank you for that call. Thank you for those points. Let's see what we can do to address some of those. First of all, she brought up the rotation of judges. Is that something that's done or is doable?
Well, here in Bexar County, as you know, we have two masters that primarily handle our CPS cases, Judge Garcia and Judge Montemayor, and they do a wonderful job. I would submit to you that they're as fair as any judge we can get. And I don't want to speak for them, but if they're burnt out, I would imagine that they'd figure out it's time to move on.
Well, burnout's a tough word, but you can call it compassion fatigue. I mean, you get into these positions day after day, it does take a toll.
I would imagine it would, as Joan Lee mentioned, with our police officers or CPS caseworkers. And so obviously, they do need, if that's the case, they need to step back and take a break. You know, as well. But I do want to reach out to her and the other CASA volunteers, because without the CASA volunteers, we really couldn't get the job done here in San Antonio and throughout Texas. It's a wonderful organization. And the other point to make is, for those that are listening that want to get involved, there's so many organizations here, that being one of them. There's St. PJ's, Any Baby Can, United Way, the Blue Ribbon Task Force, you name it. So many different organizations that hopefully people don't just get mad, they get involved as well.
And Jolene also talked about the fact that we need to do a better job of vetting people who become foster parents, and that was a problem with the fatality in Austin with Alexandra Hill. And I know that's also something that you're talking about. What needs to be done there?
Absolutely. We need to find a balance, because there are a number of parents that would love to foster that, for simple reasons, sometimes ridiculous reasons, they're disqualified. And then you hear about stories like this one, where you have foster parents that had no business taking in a child. And it's about balancing it, but also holding people accountable. And I think one of the messages that I've been trying to make over the last couple of years is we need to hold people accountable, myself included, from the commissioner to the caseworkers, from the top to the bottom, elected officials. And until we start doing that, and we know the facts, and we start holding people accountable, you're not going to see the kind of changes that we all want to see.
Now, we just finished a legislative session. You're probably still recovering from that, and you shudder at me mentioning that. But, you know, there's going to be another one, but it's going to be more than a year from now. Do we have to wait that long to see reforms?
No, we don't. The legislature this last session did put in more money into DFPS. We passed several bills that I think are going to make the system a much better program. One of the bills that I passed this legislative session was to give our caseworkers that are promoted to supervisors more training. We were just promoting them, and they could have been the best caseworker in Texas, but that doesn't mean they're the best supervisor. So with 1.5 or 2 years of experience, they were now in charge of 3 or 4.
So we need to see what the changes, reforms that were put in place in the last legislative session, let them take hold. But what we're seeing now is actually still the impact from all those severe cuts that we saw in 2011. And that's what probably is accountable for those 10 fatalities.
Exactly. We're being very inconsistent in the funding. We need to have some bring some stability to the system. And then I think you'll start to see some better improvements.
All right, State Senator Carlos Lloreste in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us here, talking about the foster care system, child protective services, and family services in Texas. Going to keep on this issue. This is something that our listeners care dearly about. And we're going to take a break for NPR News. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about problems with the Obamacare rollout now that Governor Rick Perry is ordering that the navigators pass certain standards. Stay tuned.